here's what I want you to do before we do anything else. I want you to look at somebody and ask them this question. Do you know what God loves about you? Go on, ask them. Okay, now tell them the answer. Everything. Everything. Come on, put your hands together and welcome Pastor Steve Witt. Pastor.
Louis, you're such an emotional guy. I don't even know what to say now. I'm like, let's just all lay on the floor. That'd be the best thing, really. One thing I pick up, I mentioned last night over in Valley View that our lives kind of, I don't know what it is. There's like a weaving in and out of our lives, really starting back in 1978. When I was a youth pastor in Assembly of God Church here in the city, and senior pastor told me that we were going to a district meeting of some sort. I didn't really know what that was, but I went. And we drove a long way from Bedford and ended up on Levitt Road in Lorain here. And I met a young guy who was kind of, I think you were new on staff then. You were first year, it was 1978, is that right? Yeah, and I met Louis, and there was a great connection that we made there. And then, you know, we all go our different way, do a different life and all that stuff. And then in 85, we reconnected through Quake on the Lake. We did a 24/7 prayer time for 7 days over Cuyahoga and Lorain County. And it was pretty neat, called Quake on the Lake. We were believing God for a little earthquake that'd be a sign that revival would come to Cleveland. And by the way, 3 months after that, we did have a literal earthquake, the largest one ever in the greater Cleveland area, 5.0, on the Richter scale in January 1986. And my phone was ringing off the hook. I went, wow, quake on a lake, and here's a quake, and God must be ready to come, you know. And how many of you know that like a day to the Lord is a lot longer than what we think a day is? I mean, He can linger, you know, and he is so incredible at creating hunger and curiosity. You know, my little grandson's just 15 months old, and it came to me that he was just with us last night. And sometimes he's at that age where sometimes he doesn't want to come over. Like if you say, hey, give me a hug, you know, he kind of plays bashful and he kind of moves away from me, you know, and when he did that the other day, it reminded me of my son. My son, he's 23 now, but when he was a little boy, when he would be two years old, they've got this word they use all the time, no. And so I get home from work, you know, and I go, come here, Josh, give me a hug. And he'd go, no. I go, oh, come on over here and give me a hug. And I'd be sitting on the sofa. And I learned, you know, we all learn as parents really quick how to manipulate our children. So I said, I looked at him and I said, Urabosama. And he kind of looked at me. He's just learning the language, you know. So he's looking at me kind of strange. And I go, Ubrasumama. And as I said that, he started moving closer to me. And closer to, you know, and I'd go, Odamunasa. And he'd move a little closer. And he got where he was right up in front of me. And he was studying my lips trying to think, What is he saying? And as soon as he looked at me and he was close to me, I went, ha! And I grabbed a hold of him. I gave him a hug and he went off running in the other room, told his mom, and started a lifelong path for him of running to his mom and telling her what I did. But I left that and I thought, oh, wait a minute. I think God does that to me sometimes. And from heaven, I hear things like, Urabashuma. And I'm like, what? What is that? And you need to understand the intention of the Lord. He's a father, and he loves mystery. We need to get it through our heads. He loves mystery. That's why he does stuff all the time, and I'm like, what was that? You ever have a dream, and you didn't know what it was about, you know, but you kind of knew it was from God? It's like, well, what do I do with that? You know, well, see, he does those things so you can figure it out. He does those things to draw you in close. Because we're so busy with, no, I got to do this, that, or run all over the place. I mean, a night like this is the mystery of the Lord. Some of you may even be wondering why you're here tonight. You know, you went in the wrong place or something. I don't know, but you're here. We're going to basically turn to the Lord tonight. That's what it's all about. You know, and there's so many illustrations of this in the Bible. I mean, Jacob, when the Bible says he turned aside to sleep that night, he went to sleep and he has this dream, and a ladder comes out of heaven and angels are ascending and angels are descending, you know, and Jacob wakes up and he says an incredible statement. He said, "The Lord was in this place and I did not know it." See, there's a lot of people that do not know that the Lord is right here. He's right nearby. And he is constantly moving in our midst. I mentioned last night over in Valley View that, you know, the Lord crossed the Sea of Galilee. And it's 13 miles long. He could have crossed anywhere he wanted to, but he decides to cross, walking on the water. He crosses the Sea of Galilee right where the disciples are in their boat. And the Bible says he went as if to pass them by. I mean, it's just like this teasing nature of God as he walks by. Remember, they freaked out. They thought it was a ghost, and he quickly spoke to them. They couldn't recognize him, even though he was that close. And over in the Bible, there's these instances of God being near. He was with Mary after the resurrection. She thought he was the gardener. See, there's mystery. He loves the veil of mystery. He's a dad. He's a dad. And he likes to pull us in. He likes us to want to come in out of curiosity and trying to discern. That's why with Moses, when Moses was in the wilderness and there's a burning bush there that's not being consumed, he makes note of it. And the Bible says he turns aside to look at it. And when he turned aside to look at it, a voice came out of the bush. You know, there's a scripture, and I've got two verses I want to share. This one came to me as I was on my way over here. I know. It's on my phone, Cindy. It's in the front of my bag there. Yeah, if you pick that up. Because I'm afraid I'm going to misquote it here. I've been quoting this scripture for probably a good 20 years, but still not in my head the way I want it to be. Now, here we go. Proverbs 25:2. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings... Turn to the person next to you and say, "It's talking about you." But it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. And so hunger is big in the kingdom of heaven. I thought it was a great little national parable a couple weeks ago on Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day, the second biggest eating day of the world. In the United States, second biggest eating day. Number one is apparently New Year's Day. But number two is Thanksgiving Day. And on Thanksgiving Day, the number one movie in the country was Hunger Games. I just thought that was odd. On a day that we are filling ourselves up, there's this, the number one movie was Hunger Games. And the Lord kept speaking to me all that week. It was Thanksgiving week. All that week, he just kept saying, I'm looking for the hungry. I'm looking for those that are crying out to me. Here's the second verse, and then we're going to do something a little different here in a minute. Or maybe different. I don't know. Maybe you guys do this all the time. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says this: "Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." The Lord's eyes right now are going over the earth. He is attracted to hunger. He's drawn to hunger. He speaks many times in mystery. He throws out mystery upon a land to see who the hungry are, who the desperate are, who the ones that are going to turn aside and say, "What is the Lord trying to say?" Some of you could get a mystery or a dream from the Lord right now and you'd go, "It's too complicated. If the Lord wanted me to know this, he would just tell it to me in plain language." Really? You know, the disciples hung around with Jesus for 3 years, and one of the most familiar things they said to one another over those three-year period, you see it over and over in the Gospels, it says, "And they knew not what he said." And they did not understand what he said. It's almost like they were turning to one another going, "You know what he's talking about?" "No, I don't either, but just keep smiling." And they kept hanging around trying to figure it out. And Jesus would say, they'd say things in the Gospels like they did not understand the loaves and the fishes yet. What was there to understand about the loaves and the fishes? And so you begin to understand God is moving on a very different dimension, but his passion and desire is to call us up to that dimension. That's why he knocks on the door in Revelation chapter 3. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, I will come in and eat and drink with you." And so it's your choice. I mean, you've seen, I saw just 2 months ago, a famous picture in Oxford, England, a famous painting of Jesus standing at the door knocking, and they have an interpretation of the picture. And they said, if you'll notice, there's no exterior handle. It's a door that only opens from the inside. But here's the neat thing in Revelation chapter 3, at the end of the chapter, if you open that door, instantly, it says in chapter 4, a door in heaven is open. And the Lord is up there. So it's like you invite him in here and he's up there. You invite him in here and he will eat and drink with you. But immediately this door, this revelatory door, opens up into heaven. And the Lord says, come on up. I love that passage. I heard that. The first time I saw that was like about 10 years ago when it really hit me, like the Lord wants us to come up. And he says, and I will show you things yet to come. So in other words, when you invite the Lord in, it opens up a whole new world where you're, that's why in Corinthians it says, pray that you may interpret. Because a lot of what happens from heavens comes in such mystery that you've got to say, Lord, he's messing with you. He's trying to draw you in. He's trying to make you hungry at times when you are not hungry because we are so full of the stuff of this world and this life. And the Lord is constantly knocking and trying to get through to say, look, you will be happy if you're hungry. Blessed are those who are hungry. And so the Lord looks over the earth. That's why the woman with the issue of blood caught his attention. Was not because there was no one else around. We know there's a huge crowd there. And when she went through the crowd desperate, she shouldn't have been in the crowd. She's supposed to be outside the city walls because she had an issue of blood. She was unclean. And she was a woman in those times. She broke all kinds of cultural rules because she was a desperate woman. She was hungry. She got through the crowd thinking, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She touched the hem of his garment and Jesus immediately knew it. He sensed it and he felt that there's somebody hungry. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples are like, it could be anybody. All kinds of people are crowded around here. But he felt that virtue go forth from him because he was touched by someone who was desperate, someone who was hungry. Let me tell you something. He's still looking for those people. Those people that are desperate, those people that are hungry. I love blind Bartimaeus. He cries out. The disciples, shh, don't disturb the master. The Bible says he cried out all the louder. Desperate people break some of the rules. Desperate people push through crowds. Jesus is speaking in a house one day, and all of a sudden sawdust begins to fall from the ceiling of the house. He's like, what in the world is going on up there? And it's these guys who could not get in the house because it was packed with people. The outside was packed with people. But these friends of this guy, I tell you, I'd like to have friends like that. These friends of this guy were so desperate, they said, we will go up on a roof. We will cut a hole. And so he's in there preaching. He's in there healing. He's speaking to people and they hear, they pull the lid off and they start dropping their paralytic friend down right in front of Jesus. Jesus didn't say, are you going to fix that? Jesus made no comment on anything except like, whoo, what kind of faith is this? Why? They're desperate, hungry people. You know what? In 1994, I'll close with this. 1994, I was hungry. I'd been in Canada for 8 years and it had been very difficult. I went up there. And by the way, this church helped sponsor us in Canada. You gave an offering to us when we left in 1986, and you did a monthly offering to us for a while and kind of kept our family fed until we got up and running. So we thank you for that. But I was in Canada, a very hard, very difficult area. And I've been going at it for 8 years, you know, and I had come to a place where, you know, I wasn't burnt out. I don't like using that phrase, but I was, I needed a change of scenery. And so I suggested that I go on a sabbatical. It's funny, our church agreed to it really quickly. That concerned me also. Yeah, please go on a sabbatical. So I decided I went on a 10-week sabbatical, and it's amazing. The day I crossed the border from Canada into the United States was 20 years ago this coming month, January. January 20th, 1994. Does that date mean anything to anybody? January 20th. 1994, I decided to leave Canada, to go to the United States on my sabbatical, and then I'm going to come back maybe refreshed, you know, from my sabbatical. That is the day that the Toronto Blessing broke out in Canada, which eventually touched millions of people worldwide. So here's my theory. When I leave, the Holy Spirit shows up. So maybe if I leave tonight, you know, the great, incredible things are going to happen here. But I get down to the United States, and when I got down to Charlotte, where I was at Morningstar for a while, for I think 4 weeks of those 10 weeks, I heard about, now this is pre-internet. Actually, the internet kind of took hold in 1994, strange enough, just in time for that revival. But we were faxing things back and forth. In fact, the power of God was moving so strong, and I'll say just a few little strange things here, and you're going to have to trust me that God was moving in it. But there was such an anointing of God during that revival that happened in 1994 that people, back then we faxed one another. We didn't have email, so we were faxing. So people were soaking in the presence of God and putting their handprint on a piece of paper and faxing it to people who were sick. They were putting it on their forehead, the piece of paper, and getting healed. Now, is that not a little bit of a mystery? If that doesn't challenge you like it did me, I'm like, what is happening? You mean they're not laying out of hands? No, they're laying out of hands. It's just a technological laying out of hands. And I was just beginning to see what was about to happen. So I'm down in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm outside Rick Joyner's office. A phone call came in, and the guy who was in front of me answered the phone. He's like, What? You're kidding. I was waiting for an appointment, you know, and he said, in Toronto, Canada. And I'm like, what? Because I was from Canada, and I thought, what's Toronto, Canada? He said, that's amazing. And hundreds of people. Wow. And he hangs up the phone. I said, excuse me, what's happening in Toronto, Canada? And he says, some kind of revival or something's breaking out. And I was so distressed because I thought, here I am on my 10-week sabbatical, and the Holy Spirit shows up in Canada. When I get home, I am going to Toronto. So it took 3 months. You know, in April of 1994, myself and five other guys, we got in a van packed. We went to Toronto, the Toronto Blessing. I don't know what you know about that, what you've heard about that. I just don't know. But I can tell you this. God was there in phenomenal power. 2 million people went through a sanctuary a third the size of this building over a 10-year period. When I got there, there were people lined up 4, 6, 8 abreast. Around the entire, it was a warehouse at the end of the airport runway. Around the entire warehouse waiting to get in. We showed up like an hour early because we were told you better get there early. It was already, there was a lineup. And this is in Toronto in the wintertime. It was April. And it was like sub-zero weather. And people are just out there. They're singing songs. They're worshiping. I thought, this is nuts, you know. These were hungry people. When they opened the doors, it was like going into a rock concert. People busted and they went and they were throwing their Bibles to reserve seats. I ended up in the back row, which I wasn't too discouraged about that because I thought, I'm here to observe and to see what's happening here, you know. I'm a pastor. I'm here to observe. And sure enough, he got up. We had worship. He preached. It all seemed okay. But at the end of the service, he just said, those of you who just want more of the Lord, come forward. And people started running to the front, and people began to, the Holy Spirit was hitting people before they ever got to the front, and they were collapsing on the floor. Now, I've seen this, you know, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, so I've seen people out in the power and all that, but we're talking in mass going on here. Now, this is what started my personal odyssey of going after God and going after revival unlike any other time in my life, is that I went up to the front because I was helping. People were falling everywhere, and a lady came up to me and said, who are you? I said, I'm Steve Witt. I'm from Eastern Canada. I'm a pastor. And she said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm catching people because they're falling all over the place. And she said, why don't you just receive ministry? I said, okay. So I called up it was funny, I waved to my buddies in the back to come up to the front. And I looked back there and they were going like that. I said, come on. us. So they finally came up. We lined up. Actually, they took us in another room because there was no room in the front. They went, turned the lights on. We're in this other room. And, you know, I grew up in the church, so I prepared myself. I put one foot in front of the other, you know. I'm going to brace myself here because I'm going to get pushed over. And she said, and I was waiting for the slap on the head. And I just, she said, just hold out your hands. And she just, this sweet lady just said, Lord Jesus, just fill this hungry soul. Let your power come. And she touched my hand. And the next thing, honestly, the next thing I remembered was tasting carpet. And I was there for 2 to 3 hours on the floor. I laughed hysterically. I told people, I don't know how else to explain it, except that I was vomiting laughter. That's how intense it was. My stomach was sore for weeks after that. My face was so swollen from laughing, because I'm a pastor. We didn't laugh a lot. And so swollen. I was using muscles that I had not used in a long time. I remember I got up the next morning. It was so sore. I thought, what? Oh, yeah. That was. I got in line in 3 days. I got in line 9 times. If I could, when I could get up off the floor, I'd go get in line again. The trouble is I couldn't get up off the floor very often. And so it'd take an hour or two to get up off the floor. And I go up, I get more ministry, boom, I was back on the floor. I mean, we were absolute drunks. We were going after God. When we came back home, I thought, now I wonder if this is transferable. And the first person I called was my father in Louisiana. And I said, Dad, he'd heard about what was going on in Toronto. I said, Dad, I went to Toronto. He said, what happened? I told him, I said, man, it was incredible. I told him 9 times on the floor and all this. And he said, well, pray for me. And I thought, well, I don't know if it works over the phone, you know. But I just said, okay. And I had learned, you know, I'd learned being in Toronto. All I really need to say is, more, Lord. And so I just said, okay, you ready, Dad? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, more, Lord. And when I said that, he burst into laughter. He collapsed on the floor. And his little chihuahua started going, wah, 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 running all around him, you know. And my mother came up and picked up the phone and said, what did you tell your father? And I said, I just said more, Lord. I mean, he by that time started to get up. She says, oh, he wants to talk to you again. Got up. He got hit with it again. He was on the floor. He went to church that night in Louisiana, and the entire church got blasted. And so I went home like this. Wow, this is highly contagious. So I got home immediately, called our leaders together. I wouldn't even tell you what happened that night because it was so stretching my mind as a pastor at that time of about 20 years. It was so stretching. Every paradigm I had, every box I had, the walls were being blown out of it. But I was so hungry, I didn't care. I'm not saying I didn't care about theology and I didn't care about what God. I was just so desperate. It was like, Lord, I am an open sponge right now. I want to receive fully from you. And God kept coming in power and power. In our church, he hit our church for 9 months, 9 months solid. People seeing angels, people going out in the snow and running around the building, police showing up at our church because we had a glass on the front of our building, and they looked in and saw hundreds of people laying on the floor. They thought there was a gas leak in the building, and they... I did. I shined there. I could see. I was in there ministering to people, and I saw these lights, you know, like a concentration camp going across the wall. And I looked out in the parking lot. And it was the police. So I went out there, and he said, what's going on there? And I said, people are being touched by the power of God. He's like, really? I said, yes. I said, you want to come in? He said, no, I don't think so. And he took off. So we experienced this baptism of the Spirit that is so powerful. Now, when I moved to Cleveland, in 1996, the Lord called me back here, and I'm out of town. I'll have to come back and tell you more of the words that have been spoken. But let me just tell you this. Right now, Greater Cleveland, Akron area, Northeast Ohio, is hanging under a massive weight of unfulfilled prophetic words. Massive. How many of you know who Heidi Baker is? 3 years ago, Heidi Baker has a couple churches in Africa. 10,000, actually, churches in Africa. Up to the Toronto Blessing, they had planted, I believe, 6 churches and had nervous breakdowns, she and her husband. They were broken. They came to Toronto. They got prayed for. And now over the next 20 years, they planted over 10,000 churches and are now sending missionaries from Africa. Listen to me, missionaries from Africa to South America because in Mozambique they speak Portuguese, and so they also speak Portuguese in South America, and so they're actually sending Portuguese missionaries, speaking missionaries, over to South America. She's sending missionaries to India now. Anyway, this woman, I've known her well for many years now, she was at our place in Cleveland, and she started prophesying, which is something she usually doesn't do, but she said, Steve, this region is like, it's like it's overpregnant. The words are hanging there, and it's time to push. Desperate people begin to push. It's time to push. And she said, do you know, it's not going to be easy. It'll be a challenge, and it may not happen instantly. This is 3 years ago. She said, but hundreds of thousands will be swept into the kingdom of heaven. Now, when I heard that, yeah, let's thank the Lord for that, really. The only thing, the thing that amazed me about that is I've heard those kinds of words numerous times over the past 20 years. And even more recently, Bob Jones said a youth revival of 250,000 is coming to this region. It's going to be called Woodstock. It's going to be like Woodstock. And he said it would be a youth revival, and it'd be a revival of love and community. And he had all kinds of other things that he said about that. So I stand here tonight saying we right now are on the outer edges of possibly the biggest revival we've ever experienced in our life. I believe that it's a revival that's going to first of all shake this city and then this entire state. Bob Jones had a word just about 5 years ago about Gulliver. You know Gulliver, the giant that laid down? And Ohio was the top part of Gulliver, extended all the way down to Charlotte, North Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, but the head of Gulliver was in Cleveland, and the head must rise first. And so he talked about this. Columbus had its own word. Cincinnati had its own word. But Cleveland must rise first. There is something about to happen in this region. So all we're doing right now, really what we're doing tonight, is we're positioning ourselves. We're positioning ourselves. We're pushing through the crowd. We're yelling over the crowd. We're cutting off the roof and dropping people down. We are desperate for God. We are going up to a God who is saying, Oda Shuba. What? Uramuda. What? He speaks in mysteries, but kings will seek it out. Let's all stand together, if we could, just for a minute. What I'd like to do first that I did last night, and I really felt it was what I was supposed to do, is I want to pray for a group of people. Then we're going to have some prophetic ministry. And then we'll have some kind of a soaking time together. And I can't emphasize enough. Really, Toronto is the place that made the phrase soaking well known around the world. I'd really not heard that phrase a lot prior to that. In relationship to just, we know what interceding is, and we know what tarrying and those kinds of things. But soaking was a little more passive in some ways. It was getting on God's operating table and letting him just move upon our lives with worship going over us, you know. And so we're going to do that. And I can't tell you how important that is, that when we get to that, I mean, that's not the time to leave. That's a time to really come in closer to what the Lord is speaking into our lives. He will give you. If you open that door to him, he's going to open the door up here to you, and you will see things. Some of you will see things that are yet to come. All right. First group I just want to pray for right away is anyone who's been diagnosed with cancer here. And I know some of you have family members and all that. We'll pray for them in a general way. But if you're here tonight and you've been diagnosed with cancer, I had bone marrow transplant earlier this year, stage 4. This is kind of my last chance. I had no options. When I asked the doctor what were my options, he says, you have no options. And actually, according to the doctor now, I'm about 9 months old. I lost all my hair, lost 45 pounds. And it came out of that. It's a fascinating story, but the Lord quickened me, brought me out of that. And I tell you, since that time, I am a dangerous man. I am a desperate man. I'm saying, you know what? We want to go around. We want to stir up the fires and the embers of revival all over this area, not to get it going. We're just positioning ourselves because it's already here. The fire is already here, but it will increase and it will touch an entire region and even this entire state. So if you're here right now and you have any form of cancer you've been diagnosed with, come to the front and just stand across the front here real quick. I want to pray for you. Anybody? And if not, that's fine, but I just want to make sure. I've just got a lot of faith for cancer right now, so anyone here? And by the way, last month the doctor said no more evidence of lymphoma. Yeah. So that's pretty good. I like that. Anyone here? Anyone here? I figure you'd probably respond by now. You know whether you've been diagnosed with cancer or not. But I know some people are hesitant. If you want to come up to me afterwards, I'd be glad to pray with you if for any reason you're holding back on that, all right? Okay, now let's be seated again. Joel, if you could gather our team up. We brought some people. I'm not even sure who else here, but we brought some people from Bethel.
Check. Okay. If I came and spoke with you, if I talked to you, come on up. If you'd like to participate in ministry, just come on up to the front.
That's good.
Here.
Come on up to the front. Randy. What we're going to do is we're going to call some people out. And the only reason we're doing this is we want to encourage you. It's kind of our gift as a church. In the prophetic, we want to encourage as many people as possible. So if we call you out, they're not going to say bad things about you. They're not going to discover secret sins you have or anything like that. We don't do that. What they're going to do is they're going to speak to the God factor in your life, the fingerprints of God that are upon your life, and possibly even to your destiny and things like that. So we'll have you stand up if that's you when we call you out. Just tell us your name real quick, and then they're going to give a quick word. In fact, these words tonight are popcorn words, right? Everybody understands what those are. They're not a paragraph. They're not a phrase. They're bigger than a phrase, but shorter than a paragraph, okay? And boil it down to the essence of what you want to share. Okay, start with Randy over here.
Okay. Actually, I think, are you the pastor here? Right there in the front row?
Yeah. Lewis, yes.
Yeah. When I walked in tonight and Steve was talking, the room is just absolutely pregnant. You know, with possibility of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And the Lord showed me a picture of you actually standing on a gangplank almost. And the standing on the gangplank was actually just a picture of taking risk. And Cindy Jacobs actually had a word just yesterday. She said that, you know, without risk, there's absolutely nothing that's done in the kingdom. So in this season, I just said, you know, just sense that the Lord's really going to be prompting you to walk out on that gangplank, so to speak, and really step out and take some extreme risk. And in that extreme risk, you know, God's really going to meet you, and you're going to see a lot of supernatural things that you've really been praying for to happen in your church.
Excellent. Excellent. Go ahead, Maggie. Then just pack it, pass it out.
Can I just have you, are you married? You two, just stand up. Yeah. Your names? Phil and Stephanie. The Lord highlighted you two to me when I came in, and what I saw was coins, silver coins, gold coins, just popping out of both of your ears, both of you. And I felt like there's a season right now that there's not only going to be prosperity, but there's going to be wisdom, and there's going to be a knowing and a hearing and a releasing. And as you're doing those things, there's just going to be an abundance, and there's going to be even more, and there's going to be more, and there's going to be more. And I just see more coins coming, and I see more coins coming out. So just know that what you're doing right now in this moment is just an abundance of prosperity that will pour over to others. So there's just an abundance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The gentleman in the Superman shirt, straight there. Could you stand up for me? Oh, what's your name? Roger. Roger, I just feel like you're just such a father. Do you have your own? Do you have kids of your own? How many do you have? Two kids? Six kids. Well, I guess that would be accurate then. Roger, but I see that you just really embrace what it's like to love as a father, and I don't think it's just with your kids. But it's with spiritual children as well. There's a real call in your life to mentor, to teach, to train and equip, to really just bring people alongside of you and to raise up just an army of spiritual children. I just feel like you've got a really, really strong prophetic gift to be able to call out people's destinies, to call out people that are spiritually infants or spiritual babies, and to say, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. So just bless you with that, brother.
It's back in the back in the green. Yeah, you want to stand up? No, yeah, there you. I just, what's your name? I just sensed the Lord said, like in Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. And I feel like the Lord is saying you've had some deferred hope, but to not give up and keep your eyes on other things, because just another translation says with a sudden word, a good word, things are going to turn around. I believe things are turning around for you. That 2014 is going to be a year where you're not eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, where you have to understand everything. But like a little kid, when you eat the tree of life, good things are going to happen to you. And I feel like there's some things that you've been dreaming of that you need to not give up on those dreams, because they're going to come to fulfillment this year.
Excellent. All right. This young lady in the very back clapping, is it a blue shirt that you have on? Could you stand up, please? What's your name? I can't hear you. Okay. Danasia. Okay, great. You know, I just saw that there's a season of hope and a season of contagious joy coming to your life. I just see hope rising inside of you. I see you going in and going places, and everywhere that you go, it's going to pour out of you, and it's going to ignite joy. It's going to ignite hope and happiness in the people that you touch.
This gentleman right over here, what's your name? Jesse. Jesse, when I saw you a few minutes ago, I got a vision of Red Bull. And we know it's an energy drink, and you just drink God's spiritual power. And as a bull is strong and mighty, and no fear, and you have that because you know God has your back.
And this lady right here in the pinkish sweater, or you, yep, the one that just turned around, yeah, right here. Mm-hmm, you. What's your name? Kathy. Kathy, when I looked around, I saw a bird land on you. And what I heard was friend of God. And I think the Holy Spirit is wanting to build a friendship with you. He wants you to be a friend because you smell like cookies. He's going to be drawing people to you. People are going to come and they're going to want to know God. And you as a friend of God can introduce them.
All right, this group of teenagers right here, this two rows, can you stand up, please? All of you, yes. All right, you know, I just saw a picture of you, and you all had bandanas on, and you were tightening them up, and it was like you were Rambo. Do you know who Rambo is? You were girded up for battle, and you were girded up for war. And I just declare right now that you are a generation that will fight for the kingdom of heaven. And we just release that to you. Release the fire of God into your life. And we just say that it will spread to all of your friends and all of your communities in Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, when I walked in here tonight, I got the same impression I got over in Valley View last night, is that this building is going to be used way more than it's being used right now. And there is a day coming where it will be filled and flowing nightly on both of these campuses. There'll be people coming in. Some will come in and just kind of get an appetizer from the Lord, so to speak. Others will come for the full meal deal. But there's people all over Lorraine that are going to be pulled in. There's going to be a magnetization of this facility and this property, this anointing upon this property. It's going to draw people in, and some people that have been here for years and never come to this building, all of a sudden they're going to be attracted here. So I want to bless you, Lord. We bless the people in this church to be positioned for that which is coming, Lord. We don't know if that's 6 months, a year, or whatever, Lord, but we know down the road something is going to break loose in this region that is going to, Lord, these buildings are meant for something greater than even the church that is here. Lord, they're a place of habitation. And in fact, I see people coming here even during the daytime with like their lunch buckets just to, you know, break off work and come over here and just sit for a half hour while they're eating their sandwich. That kind of a thing is going to happen because they want to be in the presence of God. They want to, and people are going to be healed even driving up and down this road in the days ahead, not even coming into this building, but coming into the atmosphere of this facility and the people that are here and the God that is represented in these people. And so, Lord, we bless this place in Valley View too, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the absolute fulfillment of your dream over these properties, over these people, and over this ministry, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. There's something I'd like to do. It won't take very long. Do you do do you do fire tunnels here? Do you have? Yeah, I want to do something here. And once you go through this prayer line, you can lay on the floor. You get ready. We're going to have a soaking time after that. And Pastor Louis might have more detail. I brought this carpet with me, this piece of carpet. And I'm not like, this is not God and I don't worship this or anything like that. But this is a representation of something. Actually, this carpet is out of the Toronto church where the Toronto Blessing came. They let me go up in the attic after they got new carpet and bring carpet pieces home. And so I brought some, and this is it's possible that thousands of people laid on this carpet and received the power of God over a 10-year period before they got their new carpet. And so I brought this piece tonight because there's something about, and the Bible's big on symbolism, but there's something about stepping onto something. It's like you're saying, I'm stepping into a place of revival. That I'm hungry enough to do something a little bit crazy here and say, how's this carpet different than the carpet here? Not any different at all. In fact, this carpet down on the floor looks way better than this carpet. But in fact, my associate who has this particular piece, it's stained. It is stained from 10 years of hundreds of thousands of people from around the world coming and praying and laying and crying out to God. People have been delivered. People have been set free. Probably people came to the Lord on this carpet piece. You know, he won't clean it though, because he just doesn't want to affect it in any way. So we're gonna leave it up here. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna form a prayer tunnel with, if we can have our ministry team here and anyone else you want to bring up, pastors and Cindy and Tina and Lewis, we're gonna form this tunnel going this way. Joel, if you want to help us, just make sure that happens. And the way a prayer tunnel works is just like a prayer line. It's just a 21st century version of a prayer line. You just walk through here. We're not going to take time to stop and pray for everybody. We may gently touch your shoulder, but you're going to step on this carpet, go through this tunnel, and we're just going to believe. In fact, if we can get maybe our soaking music on, and have some good music, and we're just going to invite you to come up and go through. Once you go through there, you find a place to either lay down, sit down, soak in the presence of God, and then Pastor Louis and I will lead through our ministry time from there. But let's all stand up if we could, and I want to pray over this tunnel here. Make it tight there a little bit so people can come down through there. I don't want to miss in the carpet here. Lord, I pray for this fire tunnel. Yeah, go ahead. Go first. And I pray for the fire of God to fill this thing, Lord. Burning away every inhibition, every fear, every concern. Well, we are walking into the revival that you have promised, Lord. And we ask for release to come upon everyone that comes through here. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you haven't been through one of these before, just walk through like you're going through a car wash. Just don't stop. You'll jam us all up. But come on. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Don't walk too fast. You slow down. Keep walking, though. Bless you in the name of the Lord.
As we go into the soaking time, I just wanted to share a quick story with you. For the longest time, I thought that fire tunnels and prayer lines were stupid. What is that, right? I remember Jenna, she loved like just feeling the presence of the Lord and people would fall over or laugh. I'm like, that is so dumb. Why would the Lord take perfectly good time with you and like push you over and make you laugh? And for about 9 months, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And Jenna's like, don't you want everything that God has for you? Yes, but not that. That's not from God. She'd be like, don't you want everything that God has for you? And about 9 months into it, I said, God, if somehow you have value in falling over and laughing, if that is valuable to you, I want to have everything that you have for me. So I said, Lord, my heart is open to anything that you have for me. And I didn't get to the very, I got to the very first person they touched me, I went down. I was laughing. I was about as drunk as you could be. This is a person that did not want it, wasn't interested in it, thought it was stupid. But I'm like, God, if you see value in it, if you see value in it, if you have something that I don't have that you want to give to me, Lord, I just want it all. I just want it all. So I just want to welcome you as the line is still there. If there is something, if you're holding on to something, you're saying, God, I don't really want, I don't know that, but God, I just want to just give it to you. Lord, if you see value in something that I don't, I just want to just, I'll just take it, Lord. If you're, as a father, you know the vegetables that I need. Lord, just give it to me. Just give it to me. Just give me everything that you have for me. Don't let me reject anything that you have to give me. Allow me to have it all. Lord, allow us to have it all tonight.
As we're seeking the Lord and just soaking in the presence of God, I want to invite you for a personal ministry. If we're not going to bring the chairs out, but just sit on the step here if you want to receive personal ministry. And I'm going to invite some of the Bethel team and some of our prophetic team to just minister to you and speak over you as we continue to play the music. You don't have to turn it off, but and let's just see what the Lord would say, okay? And I also want to encourage some of you that a few weeks or months ago, I had an experience with when I was in a hospital in an elevator, and I opened the door and my sister was there, and I got off the elevator and I said hi to her, and she turned her back on me, and it just made me angry and frustrated me, and I walked out into the parking lot, and the Lord brought me back to that place during a soaking meeting like this, soaking time, and he asked me the question. He said, do you remember who was on the elevator with you that night or that day? And I said, I don't believe there's anybody on the elevator. It's just me. And he said, no. He said, I was there. And you didn't even see me. He said, let's go back and do that again. And so in that soaking moment, I went back and the elevator's doors opened and Barb turned her back on me again. And Jesus took me by the hand. He said, it's okay, let's go. And I went, okay. And I walked to the car. And it changed that whole memory for me. I look back at that now and I'm like, Jesus took me by the hand and walked me to my car. Do you believe that? I had a personal escort by Jesus. And it changed that memory that would maybe torment to bring joy to me. So this is the ministry of waiting and soaking and allowing prophetic words to come to you. So I'm assuming those of you that are sitting here want ministry. So ministry teams, would you come and from the church here as well and just begin to minister to these folks. And then if there's a spot that opens up, you just come sit down, all right? And we'll just continue to wait on the Lord. But as you're sitting here, don't just spectate. Engage and say, Holy Spirit, take me back to these places in my life that I don't like to think about. I don't like to go there. And then let's redo them. Show me where you were at that moment and let's reframe those whole experiences, okay? So let's continue to do that. We're just going to keep seeking the Lord here, and you can just play that. If it ends, just play it over again, okay, Matt? You can just turn it up though, okay?